Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, guess what I brought to Boston?
Syphilis.
No.
What?
This is funny. You guys will get a kick out of this. Like really important technical equipment that I require to do the show. And
yeah.
You can see it.
Oh, you brought the iPad.
Oh, nice. The big iPad clock.
That's it.
TikTok.
But, you know, I don't just use
the fleecing
for
of TMOS.
Fleecing. We're rubes.
Rubes.
Yeah, Mark.
I don't just use it, though. I don't just use it for, the clock on the show. That's where I read my text to you.
And because you can zoom in, Mike, you don't need your readers.
Yeah, I don't need my big reading glasses. But hey, you know, right out of the chute, we have to do this. We have to use the St. Patty's Day accents. We have to do the Irish brogues today.
Well, you know, it is the day. It is the day.
It's the day, Rob. It's a fine day for all people. Even if you're not Irish, it's a good day to be Irish.
I was so excited because I was reading how, you know, he many years ago ran all the snakes out of the Emerald Isle. And then we were safe and we could eat potatoes.
And how did he do it, you might ask?
How did he
run the snakes?
I was wondering how he was able to get all the snakes off the isle.
Well, I'll tell you, if you'll let me. I'll tell you what he did. He took a little bit of Guinness and he sprinkled it on the backs of the snakes. And they didn't like it. It's like pouring salt on the snails. It dissolves them and it irritates their skin. So each and every rock he'd turn over and he'd find a snake underneath the rock and he'd pour just a little bit of Guinness on the back of the snake. And the snake would freak out. The snake would totally freak out. Out and then they'd go into the sea because they thought the sea would be more comfortable for them. But unfortunately, the sea was so salinated also that the snakes would dissolve. There ended the story.
The snake is not a very smart creature.
No, the snake is stupid. It's just big and long and dumb with a little small head.
Big small head?
A big small head. Christ, get me through this. Anyway, that's what the snakes did.
Before you move on, there's one person I wanted you to say hi to.
Who's that?
Oscar O. Santana.
Oscar O. Santana, he's a good little boy. He comes into the studio and gets his cup of joe. Mac McIntosh, get me coffee today. Anyway, yeah.
Put some other shrimp on the barbie.
No.
Good button on the bit.
And, of course, Rob is in possession of all the stereotypical, wonderful songs and sounds of St. Patrick's Day.
Mike, so, I'm only going to do stuff that is truly going to pay tribute to your homeland, like
homage,
Dennis Day, and my favorite Irish song.
Now, Clancy was a peaceful man, if you know what I mean. The cops put the pieces after Clancy left the scene.
I'll be honest with you, my ancestors were minorities and came to this country as immigrants.
Oh, wait, Mike, here's the hook.
Whenever they got the Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom.
You know, as I was mentioning before I was so rudely interrupted, I would say that, I had immigrant ancestors. Everybody's had immigrants, and we're talking, there's a lot of talk about immigration. When you play these songs...
Yes.
I feel like, I might feel like some Hispanic person.
La migra?
If you used a swear word. Or if you were an African-American and you heard that word. I feel almost, not quite, mind you, but almost the same way when you play these stereotypical... Geese, some humpback camels, and some chimpanzees. Anyway, it is St. Patrick's Day.
It is.
And, what a wonderful city to be in.
Maybe the best city
for
in the
Patrick's
United States,
Day.
Right?
Absolutely. A huge day today. I'm not even sure...
whether they're having the parade today or on the weekend. I don't know what the schedule is because I haven't been paying attention to it. But we're in Boston, and I'm house sitting for my sister. And
what's your schedule like?
The schedule is, well, this morning, the bro-in-law and the sister got up crack of dawn to take their little fantastic vacation trip. And so my schedule today was 6:45. Now, I get up an hour earlier than that when I'm in Florida, but for some strange reason, this morning I felt all logy. And I think it might
be. Did you
fly
into Logie Airport?
I flew into Logie Airport.
Logie International. Logie
International. That's a story in and of itself. But Rob, we could go on, but we are not doing our duty because it's Thursday.
Yeah, it's not about
and
us.
And on Thursday, it's never about us, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-mm. No, most importantly, it's all about you.
One time.
Okay.
One time.
I like that. I like that. I like that. That actually works for me. That's good. That's good. By the way, I'm just thrilled that from a technical standpoint, we're able to do this show so much better when I'm in my sister's closet than when I'm in my studio in Florida.
It's called infrastructure.
It's also called, for one day, Mike has the longest commute.
He does.
Because he had to go from Florida to Boston to do the show.
Let's get to it. Leo Hagerstrand. Say it again, Leo Hagerstrand. Leo is 12, and I'm not lying about it.
Lying
about it.
Because he's Leo, you see.
Oh, Leo the, okay.
Oh. Sometimes they give me so
little
to work.
Yeah, thank you, Pony.
With.
Thank you for the O. Yeah. I mean,
shut up,
Pony. Really.
Storming out the gates, are you?
Yeah.
God. I mean, seriously, what are you doing on this podcast? Go work for the Reader's Digest or something.
They won't return my calls anymore. I keep sending
letters
to you.
Let me give it to you the way you wanted it.
Okay.
Let me give it to you the way you wanted it.
Thank
Leo,
you.
Leo Hagerstrand. I say it again. Leo Hagerstrand. Leo is 12, and I'm not lying about it.
See, now Pony laugh, because you sold it.
Right. Steve Albertini, he's a good boy, turns 55 this Sunday. Stevie Albertini, he's a good boy, but he ain't a no boy. He's as old as I am. He's a 55 on his Sunday, and he love a Bonifife birthday greeting from Rob. Well, do we have to spin the wheel? All right, let's do it. See what happens. You call it, Rob.
Oh, single bullet.
Woo!
Rob is so generous.
Now listen, Rob is not all that generous.
Yeah.
He has his needs. But I just want to say this to Steve Albertini. You've got to nip it in the bud and have a happy birthday with no mollycoddling. Boo!
By the way, Don Knotts came up between Rob and I about a week and a half ago when I texted Rob. I said, condolences to the widow Knotts. And Rob said that happened like 2 years ago. Sorry about that. I don't
still
know.
Dead, though. Still dead.
I know. Yeah, still dead. Don't drop things.
What happened?
No. What happened is yeah, hold on. Talk amongst yourselves.
Hey, maybe you
the birthdays went under the clothes in the closet.
I'm sure we'll get a full diagnosis later, but the router that Mike is attached to is actually installed on the top shelf of a closet.
Of a closet.
Yes. So hopefully, in this day of acceptance, we can talk the router into coming out of the closet. Maybe even on our show. I think that would be great.
Stop with the puns. What? God damn it, I'm going to kill you. I will get on a plane today and I will drive.
You can't kill me. Mike, it only makes me stronger. You're going to need a microphone.
Yeah,
son.
Microphone.
Wait, I'm looking for a set. God, I'm only like two birthdays in.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
All right, thank you.
What were you?
I'm only on the second birthday. Well, I'm going to get motoring now. Happy birthday today to one of our favorite promo submitters, Mr. Chris Razor. Chris Razor is a good guy. Very good.
He is.
That's wonderful. Michael Hansen has a birthday coming up. He's going to be 10, and he's ready to begin his douchebag teenager in training years. Good luck, Michael. Let's hear it for the Cole sisters.
Cole.
Yeah, Maddie and Becca Cole turn 16 next week. Twins, you know. And they'd love birthday greetings from Dr. Ben Carson because having a great birthday doesn't have to be brain surgery. Scott, Mr. Pun. All right, let's spin
That one was submitted.
All right, let's get the machine out. Let's see what happens. There is Ben.
Oh, yeah, big winner.
You have the door?
I don't have a door.
You got all my elements. You got my door?
No, he's over there by you, right behind you. Don't you see him?
Oh, where?
Cha-cha-cha-cha. Boom. So, I've endorsed the other guy with the orange hair because, you know, I think that's my ticket. And, you know, I just have to reiterate that it was a great ride and make America great again. That's right. Ben P. Carson, signing out.
Thank you, Ben.
Aren't you going to ask me what the P stands
what
for?
What does the P stand for?
Pathetic.
Oh, no.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All those guys, and it's not because of them. All those guys that lose and then endorse Trump, they can't appear anything but pathetic. Mm-hmm.
They look beat down.
Did you see the one where Trump got off the plane with the umbrella?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's pouring rain and Christie didn't have one?
No.
So Trump's just walking, not even making any effort to put the umbrella over Christie. It was fun to watch.
But to be honest, if Christie needs an umbrella, he needs to rent it at a beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? And well, there were lots of Secret Service that were actually standing underneath Chris Christie.
He was the umbrella.
They were dry as a bone. Dear TMOS, I have been a huge fan of Mike and Rob since the early 90s. Oh. And Oscar, you're definitely slowly starting to grow on me.
That's nice.
Tremendous weekend feedback on Mr. Santana's participation in the show. It's very gratifying.
Oh, good.
A little jealous. In addition to marrying my wife, Julie, and the births of our two children, one of the true highlights of my life was winning at Low Budget Jeopardy as Iron Mike Tyson consumed both of Rob's ears right there in the studio.
I remember
you know,
that
people
day.
Reference something that is so long ago that I don't have a memory
well,
of.
I do remember it. It hurt.
I'm entering my final year of douchebaggery this Saturday and would love nothing more than to kick it off with a shout-out from Kid Dynamite. Thanks for the decades of laughs, and check out my vish ass. Wow, this guy's living in the past, man.
Yeah.
Love always, Ryan Gay. Editor's note, I have no idea who Kid Dynamite is. Well, let's get the machine out anyway and see what happens. Okay?
Okay, well, here we go. Let's give it a
true P1.
All right, here we go. Live in the now. Live in the now. Live in the now.
Really? That's a winner?
Huh. Big winner, big winner, big winner.
No, I'm sorry. That's a loser.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I think I was just trying to make my point. Live in the now.
Do you remember what Kid Dynamite is?
No.
I don't either.
I would like to request a follow-up.
Okay.
On who Kid Dynamite is.
I'll accept that. I think that's a valid point.
My guess is that it was like an old DJ impression. But, I mean, I've got a pretty good mind for stuff like that, and it didn't even ring a bell.
Well, I think someone that's been listening for so long can follow up.
Meanwhile, Mike is swinging on a tire swing up there in Boston.
You know, everything went well, except for this little detail.
Yes.
But anyway, moving right along. Hi, guys. I'm writing this as my fiancé, John Bloom. Hey, another Bloom.
Hey, Bloom. Ooh. When is it Bloom's Day?
I'm writing this as my fiancé, John Bloom, listens to your show. I think he's up to hour 8 today. He's been catching up as he works, and he's really excited about it. Meanwhile, I'm about to put a fork in my eye the next time Oscar laughs. Oh, now see, that's not right. Kidding, sort of. Anywho, John's birthday is today, and I know he'd be tremendously excited if you could wish him a happy 30th birthday. Love the show, Mandy.
Aw, oh, Mandy.
Well, you know what? John Bloom, if you're ever down around the Chesapeake Bay Bridge on the way down to Ocean City, Rehoboth, Dewey Beach, I recommend John Bloom, when you get to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, stop off to the right and visit the fabulous Whitehall Inn. So John Bloom can enjoy some of Whitehall's famous fruit fritters.
Nice.
Hi, guys. There must be some degree of serendipity going on with me and TMOS. You see, I haven't been to the dentist in longer than I am comfortable admitting. And when I recently went back, it turned out that I needed a 3-step cleaning.
Ooh.
Full
oh,
service.
Oh, God. I think I met you in Reno. The surface cleaning.
Mike, to be fair, could have been one of many.
Yes, the surface cleaning was done a week ago, leaving me with 2 deep under-the-gums cleanings to go. I'm going to throw up in my mouth right now.
No.
Involving local anesthetic and blood.
Yay!
Take care of your teeth, people.
Please.
It's so very important. Today, I went in to have the first of these deep cleansings done. I think we're at the stage now where calling it a cleaning might be a little understating. I think perhaps there might be some sort of disease thing going on.
Have you ever seen the show called American Restoration? You might need that guy.
This old
so we went in today to have the first deep cleansing done. He was prepared to listen to TMOS as his distraction. In some screwed up manner of cosmic perfection, last week's medical malady mailbag started just as the first needle went into my gums. FML. Nevertheless, I enjoyed the show as usual, and you guys got me through it. I'll be staying on top of this dental crap henceforth. As best as I can recall, the hygienist instructed me to rinse my mouth with warm salt water followed by cold alcohol. I'm following instructions.
Good boy.
Peace. David Cook from Sacramento, California.
Crook.
Thank you, David.
Crook.
Crook.
David Crook. Yeah, that's right.
I've had those deep gum cleanings as a child.
Really?
Yeah, and they are painful.
I never got to that. Yeah, I never got to that. The worst thing I had is when they had to cut out a piece of the roof of my mouth to graft on for gum recession.
Whoa!
But that hurts too.
Ugh.
Yeah, see, you've had the bad stuff. I've never had
grafting.
That. I've,
that's rough.
Yeah, Rob had horrible teeth. Rob neglected his teeth for years.
For many years, that's right.
Didn't you? I mean, didn't you have, like, serious gum issues for a while?
Yeah, they're all corrected. Now I have the gingiva of a teenager.
Nice.
Thank you.
I actually have my longest between cleanings when we moved down to Florida and went in recently and got a very simple cleaning, and everything was hunky-dory, and they talked about how healthy my gums were. And that's regular brushing and flossing. That's all that takes, people.
Because most of the clients down there just drop their teeth off for a cleaning. Because they're older, you see.
It's so true.
Please don't encourage them. Yes, that's right. It's so true. Moving right along. Hello, gang. I recently listened to the episodes during which you discussed the counterfeit golf balls that Mike had been playing with. I played golf in college and then professionally for a short time thereafter. If I could ask a favor and or make a suggestion, when referring to golf, you will sound like a better player if you don't turn golf into a verb by saying, I went golfing.
Oh, well then.
Just like you don't go tennising or baseballing, it's better to say, I played golf. I promise it will take at least 3 strokes off Mike's handicap. I hope I'm not a pain in the ass.
Too late.
Thanks for listening. Mark from, of course, Sacramento. Well, you know what? I've never gotten a letter like this that talked about golf and golfing, Mark, and me.
Hey!
Thank you.
That's
anyway.
Terrific.
Mm. He is technically Mike, right, though, right?
He is totally right.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so painful, Oscar. He technically is right.
I don't know.
Sucks. Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, and the entire Hee Haw gang, the 45th anniversary of my world debut is March 23rd, and once again, I would like to ask for a birthday shout-out. In the past year, I have gifted both Sherry's Berries and Omaha Steaks to loved ones, used the TMOS link to make purchases at Amazon, enjoyed Blue Apron dinners, and began my mornings with Harry's as I knocked the whiskers off my
face.
I can't go a day without listening to you guys, whether it be the daily or the bonus show. Thank you for all that you do to keep America laughing. As a request, I would like to take my chance on the Omeritron Impersonator 5000 and see if Mike could talk up Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer. My very best to you all. Jim Amato, Sledgehammer. You're going to play it, and I'm going to do it. It's going to be a little delay, but... Monkey, monkey, monkey. I guess he won.
Well, you know what, Jim? I got to give Jim Amato credit because he actually sent it with his own jingle. So
very
he
good.
Gets plus points for that. You're going to enjoy the announcer on the jingle, Mike.
Kiss 108 is WXKS-FM, Medford, Boston. Lock it in and rip the knob off.
Thank you, Ernie Anderson, live from Beantown. Yes, sirree. I'll tell you something. They're having a party up here in this great city by the bay, and it ain't a tea party. I'll tell you that because it's St. Patty's Day with 2 D's, everybody. Get out and drink till you puke. Have a fabulous time on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah!
Woo! Thank you.
Rip the knob off.
Rip the knob off.
That's a Rob Ford did. Oh, Mike, you don't know about this.
Really?
Save it. Okay, I'll tell you. You are going to be so pissed.
Is it a Rofo piss thing?
Oh, yes.
It truly is.
Oh, well, that moved to the lead. We're leading with that. Dear gentlemen, Michael Myers of Spokane, Washington is celebrating his double nickel birthday today, St. Patrick's Day. I'm hoping that the luck of the Irish wins a positive spin. Here we go. A positive spin on the wheel for a shout out from Colonel Bernie Sanders. I love your show, and I am very happy he introduced me to you. DGH, Susie. Empty, empty, empty. Sorry, Susie. I'm so sorry, but it's now steamrolling till the end of the birthdays so that Mike O'Mara can tell you all about his first sponsor and get right to the Rofo story. You know Rofo stops me in my tracks. That's the way it goes. Moving right along. Hello, TMOS crew. I was hoping that you'll give a birthday greeting to one of your biggest fans, my wife, Amy Hayes. She turns 41 this Monday, and the years have been very kind to her. That is the back of the hand.
What?
Mr. Man, Alan, who wrote the letter, that is not complimentary.
Sands of time, Alan.
That is really, really not the way to do it. She turns 41. The years have been very kind to her. If you say that about a 41-year-old, you're insulting her.
Looking for trouble, yeah.
She's as drop-dead sexy today as she was when I first met her when she was 19. Now, if you had just said she's as drop-dead sexy as she was when I met her at 19 without saying the years have been very kind to her.
Yeah, that is really an equivalent to, you know what? Well, you know how Pony is. Maybe, bless his heart.
She's got good jeans.
Yeah. And she looks good in her jeans.
Now, you could say, I think you could get away with saying she's got good jeans. I think you could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it feels like she's been my best friend for my entire life, and one of the greatest bonds we share is our love of all things TMOS. If you would be so kind as to wish my Amy a very happy birthday. I put that my Amy part in. I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks, guys. I've got to dry off now. Alan Hayes, you saved the letter, Alan. I'm sorry. I gave you a hard time about speaking about Amy that way, but please... send us a photograph.
Right away.
Right away. Immediately. Mike O'Mara, care of Boston. Finally, hi, Rob. Can you please forward this email to Mike's sister, Kathy? Thank you.
No.
All right. Well, she's on a plane now.
Well, what you have to do is you can print it out
over
and
the
leave it
now
on her pillow. Yeah.
Well, hi, Kathy. Thank you for letting Mike have the TMOS meet and greet at your home. This is a winner here already. This is getting right to my heart here. Thank you for letting Mike have the TMOS meet and greet at your home. My three friends and I are making a special trip to your city for spring break from Corpus Christi, Texas. A couple questions for you. Because of St. Patrick's Day, do you suggest we bring the tequila with us, or will it be easy to find in the city? Man, talk about does he get it.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, do you know of any good but reasonably priced bail bondsmen in your area? Just planning ahead. Thank you again, Kathy. Kevin Spain, listener since 1993. P.S. Rob, you can just send a picture of this email if it would be easier for Kathy to receive. Oh, God, start the show, you hump. That's fantastic.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Well, it's that time again. St. Patrick's Day has come and gone, and, well, the sons of Ireland are basking in the glow. You know, when I think of Ireland, I think of a lot of colorful Irish expressions like top of the morning to you, kiss the Blarney Stone, may the road rise to meet you, may you be in heaven an hour before the devil knows you're dead. I'd like to smash you in the face with my shillelagh. Danny Boy, Begora, Wail of the Banshee End, Whiskey for the Leprechauns, Whiskey for the Leprechauns. But the expression I think most people identify with the Irish is, of course, the luck of the Irish. Luck of the Irish. Sure. Say you're in a pub somewhere in Ireland. Oh, anywhere in Ireland. Some guy comes up to you and says, "Hey, is that a bomb I hear ticking?" Then BAM! Your small intestines are on the ceiling and your brains are in your car across the street. That's the luck of the Irish for you. Look, who's kidding who, okay? Let's talk about the bad luck of the Irish, all right? How about this? Potato famine! How about that? It scares them, doesn't it? Well, it should. That's why they came here in the first place, so they wouldn't have to work in the potato fields. That's why they became politicians, priests, and cops. Luck? Give me a break. I got a friend. His name is Dan Sullivan.
John, go ahead, get a second. To the point.
He's Irish as they come. We used to drink together a lot. After two drinks, he would look like an Irish pirate, you know? Yeah, you think he had luck? In one day, he got his car stolen, and the stupid, he had no insurance and no license, and then he gets locked up for being drunk, okay? So after that, he takes off for someplace like India or Nepal or someplace like that. And his mother dies, you know? So they wire him and tell him to come to the funeral. You know, of his mother's funeral, that's
John,
all.
John, what is
wait, one second, wait. And he's in India, Nepal, sitting squat-legged, listening to some sacred cow. So he comes back, and he gets stopped at U.S. Customs for trafficking in illegal drugs. Not holding, he's trafficking. I mean, here's this guy, Sullivan. His old lady kicks off, he gets popped at the border, and he's sitting on 50 pounds of black Tibetan finger hash and two keys on slam. Now, that's not bad luck. That's dumb luck. I don't think luck has anything to do with it. I think it's brains. I don't think the guy has any brains at all. First of all, he's a drunk, then he's a junkie. Now, I don't know what's worse. Don't ask me. Ask Sullivan. And what happens? He calls me up and he says, "Hey, man, I got busted in the border. I need $5,000 bail, you know?" Wait a second. I said, $5,000, man. I never even seen $5,000 in my life. So don't ask me for it, man. Why don't you ask your mother? Which is a dumb thing for me to say because his mother just died. Now I got this drunken Irish junkie who wants to kill me because of what I said about his mother being in terminal dreamland, you know? Oh, one thing, boy, just get me out! One thing! They love their mothers, boy! Oh, they love their mothers! It's mama this and mama that! Oh, my Irish mother! Ireland must be heaven because my mother comes on there! I can't!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Well, that one was good on multiple levels. Anyway, live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios in Washington. Don't apologize. Come on. It's a little joke.
That's all it is.
Insensitive bastard. Anyway, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are live in Boston today. We are a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you are here, ladies and gentlemen, you do too. I have been enjoying my blue apron from Mrs. O'Mara for the last few weeks now. And I will tell you, you know that room in your house with the sink and the oven and the fridge? It's called the kitchen!
Oh, that!
It's about time you learn how to use it. The good news is that Blue Apron makes it easy. Besides, cooking at home means eating healthier and saving money instead of ordering expensive takeout again. And I love me my Blue Apron. You should try it, too. It's less than 10 bucks a meal, and Blue Apron delivers all of the fresh ingredients. They put everything in a box on your door. They got the seasonings. They got the instructions. They got the produce. Everything you need to make a beautiful gourmet-style home-cooked meal. No matter what dietary preferences you have, Blue Apron makes it a breeze. We're cooking with ingredients that we've never used before, and we're learning it, and it's never been more delicious. Right now, you can get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. That's our treat, absolutely. The first two meals are on us when you go to blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook, and we love it. I really, really love it.
Good stuff, good stuff.
And Carla puts pictures up on Facebook, and you can see our great meals that we're making with Blue Apron. It's fantastic, and, you know, I wish I was down there to enjoy a Carla Blue Apron meal today, but now I am here for the next week or so in beautiful Beantown, Boston, Massachusetts, and glad to have you with us, and good to see you guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thanks to you, Mike.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you.
pretty.
Before we get to Rofo, I guess we'll have to do that on the other side of the break.
Yes.
Any plans? Are you boys doing anything celebratory for the big day? I mean, you are in a city, a major East Coast city, which I have known and seen, one of the better St. Patrick's Day cities in America. You got the Irish Times down the street. You got the Dubliner down the street. You got Ireland's Four P's out there in Falls Church.
I'm going to think outside of the box. What I'm going to do as soon as we finish the show today, I'm going to ride the Green Line because the Metro is back open. I'm just going to ride the Green Line all day to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Rob will not be celebrating St. Patty. Are you having any supper club people
No,
over
but we will
like
do
a to make shepherd's pie. And
no, we'll do drink. A corned beef this weekend because that's Robert's favorite dinner. But because that is a cook-all-day thing, that's kind of tough to do when St. Paddy's Day, forgive me, falls on a Thursday.
I love St. Paddy's Day falling on a Thursday because, back in my college days, it really allowed me to blow off the entire weekend.
Face it, the week, right?
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Well, the week. Yeah, I mean, I'd start tuning up on Wednesday night, just to get ready for it. And then, Thursday was a great day for the bar business because it kind of gave you an extra day. And you could do your stuff on the weekend, but you could also have the people lining up. And I remember when I had the
If you own
Irish
a failing
pub,
restaurant, contact us at foodnetwork.com.
I remember actually having guys line up. Are you still laughing at the failing restaurant?
No, I'm laughing at the fact that now you don't even comment. You just pause and move on.
Okay.
Scab is there. Yeah.
Great. Appreciate it. They would line up. I had people, I think, at 5 a.m. one year at O'Mara's that were lining up outside to come in. And my highlight, if you want to know how great my restaurant owning experience was, my highlight of one St. Patrick's Day was not look at all this business we're doing. Look at how many people are coming to a pub with my name on it. It wasn't, the bands that we have or having bagpipers walk through because I'm Irish. It was none of those things. My highlight of one St. Patrick's Day was an event that happened with the police. We had a tent outside because of the overage, and we would actually get a permit to put bars outside because it was a massive day for us. And, of course, probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the evening, you get people that, get a little overserved, unfortunately. And
it happens all the time.
The best of places.
That was my motto. That was actually under O'Mara's sign. It said, O'Mara's Pub, you can't watch them all.
But it was written in Gaelic, wasn't it?
It was wonderful. It was truly wonderful. And so what happened was this guy got a little feisty, had a little skirmish with the coppers, and unfortunately, they had to tase him, like right at my feet. It was truly amazing. Truly amazing. And I remember watching, he'd been in my joint a couple of times before. I'd seen this dude. And I watched as they kind of hit him once, hit him twice. I think it might have been a total of like five times before he really learned to calm down. It was a beautiful thing. So there he was at my feet, sort of flopping around like a bass out of water. And that was my happy little St. Patrick's Day story. Isn't that wonderful? Speaking of happy stories, I understand we've got a... That's so Bill O'Reilly. Like, speaking of happy stories, I understand we got a Rofo issue. Got to deal with it,
On the Factor.
He's quite a life force on the Factor. We're going to hear all about it when we come back live from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and Boston, Massachusetts, the Irish American's capital. Anyway, we'll take a break and be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Welcome back to another episode of Nature's Minute, brought to you by the Mike O'Mara Show. Today, we're in the jungles of Bolivia with Dr. Maria Garcia in search of Ara uninformicus, or the South American turncoat macaw, as it's more commonly known.
Escucha, escucha. Creo que uno está cerca.
Okay, she thinks we're close.
Este es el mírenme, estoy aquí.
That's the classic. Look at me, call.
El pájaro vuela por la selva, dejándonos saber que está
The bird
acá.
Demands the jungle acknowledge its presence.
El resto de los animales no le prestan
But the other atención. Animals don't seem to care.
Pero a Lara esto no le importa y continúa gritando sin parar.
It seems that the lack of a response does nothing to deter the bird from its endless squawking.
Al no recibir contestación, el Lara empieza a demandar que el pájaro que
Even though it got no responses, the macaw reminds potential mates to focus on fitness.
Él dice, tiene que estar apretado.
Apparently it's saying something like, keep it tight, if my Spanish is correct. Once again, we're not hearing any responses, which might explain why this species of macaw is in swift decline. Dr. Garcia, is there any demand for efforts to protect the species and possibly save it from extinction?
No.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Remember, to learn more about the amazing world around you, download the TMOS app. Things are always tight there. Ciao, ciao.
Fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Vistaprint. Hey, if you are a small business owner, using Vistaprint is like having a best friend that's always there for you to help you excel. I love all the Vistaprint cards we've been getting. They offer everything for your home and office: postcards, flyers, banners, apparel, invitations. And for the dentist that sent us the flyer for their business, thank you for getting back to me and telling me thank you, because I know you're listening every day. That's wonderful. Really, we love the business cards. That's the best deal, bar none. Right now, 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter promo code TMOS at checkout. 500 cards for under 10 bucks. Vistaprint cards make it easy, and they make it affordable. Well, listen to that. 500 cards for under 10 bucks. You can't beat that. Use a Vista template or your own logo. Vistaprint does it all so you can look great, just like a good friend. Everyone, we've all designed our cards at Vistaprint, and guess what? It's easy, and it always looks sensational. Remember to use the code TMOS at Vistaprint.com, and you'll get 500 business cards for $9.99. That, my friends, is a 50% savings. Remember, TMOS. Go to Vistaprint.com and order yours today. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We are live from Boston and Washington, D.C., and a big day here in the city of Boston.
They don't dye any rivers green there. That's a Chicago thing, right?
That's a Chicago thing. You got real Irish people here, okay?
Hey,
no, I don't want to insult those.
Hey,
I don't want to insult those.
Next time you cruise
those
through Chicago.
No plastic patties.
Right.
I'm sure.
Don't hit me. So, look, all I know is Oscar teased me with the Rofo story that's going to make me mad. So if I'm going to get mad, I want to get mad so I can help the whole show,
yeah,
as opposed to just getting mad at the end of the show when I'll stew on it alone. This will allow me to vent. So lay it on me. What did he do now? Did he do something stupid?
So we have been in, for the lack of a better term, for the past few weeks, in a pretty tense atmosphere, right?
Mike, for lack of a better word, the last few weeks.
Yes.
Like a month.
Yes.
It's been tough, especially with some of the tech issues. So the last thing we need is something to break.
Exactly.
And we know that the highest overhead as far as our line items are concerned is the equipment here.
The
especially
equipment,
yes. The professional grade equipment that we work with day in and day out.
Absolutely.
That makes our podcast possible.
Thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And over the years, we have been slowly collecting this equipment because you can't just take it all in bulk, and we couldn't take that hit financially. So
right.
I always tell people, if you considered the startup expenses, you would be very pleasantly surprised. You would say, hey, we were able to get this off the ground by doing this. When you talk about what we have added on over the years, you're getting into a totally different story, and we don't like to have things messed with.
No, not at all. And right. That some of this equipment really does cost thousands of dollars.
Yes.
So there is one piece of equipment we use on one end of our broadcast, and on a remote end of the broadcast.
And
it's called a Telo Zip One.
And this is the reason that it is so expensive, is that not only does it cost thousands of dollars, but they operate in pairs.
Yes.
So one is no good. Think of it as having like one walkie-talkie.
Yes, one walkie-talkie.
You need to have two walkie-talkies for them to be valid. And so when they travel in pairs, that's the way actually we're able to communicate audio-wise between Washington, D.C.
So together
and
we're
Boston.
Talking about multiple thousands of dollars.
Yes,
right?
Many thousands.
And when I travel with this equipment, I have it in what they call in the industry a Pelican case.
Yes.
Which is a hard case on the outside and soft on the inside, specifically built for this equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, we wanted to make sure that we had a full inventory of this equipment.
Exactly.
Right. And I was supposed to go to Salt Lake City, Utah, to do the show. So I had brought the piece of equipment I was taking.
You're the pioneer of this.
Yeah.
You're the one that actually used this, and that's what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
And I still have to say, it's a wonderful piece of equipment. It is the backbone equipment for this show.
Yeah.
Yep.
Unquestionably.
And we pay full price. We're not getting dime one for talking about this.
No,
right,
this
exactly.
This is
we asked, but we did not get
pivotal to the story. So I asked Rofo to go to my vehicle and grab the unit out of my trunk. I said, it's in a nice case built for it. It's in a Pelican case. You can't miss it. It looks like a camera.
You gotta, by the way, you got to tell me how you did that. I want to find out. I'd like to get me one of those cases, too.
Yes, I bought it on eBay, and I cut it out. I cut the foam out with
it's like an old camera case.
Yes.
Where it comes with cubes of foam and you remove the sides.
But at a certain point, you said to me, you used to like wrap it up like a baby and carry it.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to tell you to get a Pelican case because I know you don't want to carry something else. Okay. I know you. It's a pain in the ass. It really is a pain in the ass.
You know what would be, God, this is so inside, but this is how we communicate.
Yeah,
we don't do it off the air. I would love to have... I jerry-rigged it so much in my little... And by the way, that was the best way to do it. That, from a peace of mind standpoint, this equipment is so important to our show that I brought it with me in a backpack and wrapped it up in a towel and put some styrofoam in its regular packing inside the backpack.
Yes.
And,
you used it as a carry-on, so you had it in your possession the entire trip.
The reality of air travel now, I mean... If I was going to do things properly, I have a fabulous case that I stole from WMAO. And I think
they used
ultimately,
to use it for Frank Harden, didn't they? I think
I'm going to modify it for that piece of equipment.
Yeah, it's a good idea. You could probably take some sort of soldering iron or a piece of wire that you heat up and then just cut out exactly what you need. I could walk
can't
you through
it. Can't use an X-Acto knife?
You could do that as well. Just don't cut yourself.
That's right, Mike.
Yes.
Very good. So anyway, I interrupted. Go ahead.
So it's built for this piece of equipment, and it's in a hard shell, but a soft case, right? Mm-hmm. So nothing should happen to this equipment.
It's kind of bulletproof.
Yeah, it's bulletproof. It's idiot-proof. I actually, if I wanted to, I would never do this. I'd throw it under the plane and know it would be fine when it would come out.
There's
right?
one detail I need to add here. That now, I've spoken to many Telos engineers, and one thing they always laugh about is when I speak to them about their equipment, they say they make the equipment DJ-proof, which means it's very, very simple because it's installed by engineers, but oftentimes used by disc jockeys.
Yes.
So when you look at the front of the Zip unit, there is a keypad and two knobs.
Two knobs.
That's it.
That's it.
Very simple. Need to run
idiot
the whole thing.
Proof.
It
right?
is idiot
very
proof.
Simple, but a lot of work goes into setting it up the right way.
And exactly.
To do what we do.
The
Absolutely.
Price tag, the cost, the pain points, so expensive.
It is, Mike, as I would say in the 30s, very dear.
Yeah.
It's a very dear item.
We're not in the 30s.
Hey, guess what? Guess what? Yes. Don't even know how the story resolves itself. Getting mad already. Getting mad already. Yes, sir.
So,
Sloppy McDoppy.
It's in the Pelican case. You cannot go wrong. You'll see the big silver box. Just pull out the silver box and bring it in.
That's
or
right.
He could have brought the case in, but I was just making it easier for him, right?
So not going to happen.
And
so you told him to get the machine out of the case so you could take the case back to your domicile.
No.
So he's not bringing the case in. He's bringing the unit
One less thing in the studio.
Right.
Okay.
We
were just bringing it in to test it. That's all we're doing, right?
How many do we have now total? What do we have? How many of them
we have? We have 1, 2, 3, 4.
We have four.
Four.
We have four.
Four.
Okay, and I've got one down in Florida, one up here right
two
now.
Two pair, Mike.
Two pair.
Yeah, baby.
So we finish up the show. I give him those instructions. He walks out. He comes back not 10 minutes later. It's across the street. Like really so close, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You cannot go wrong. And he comes back. A little too long for what that walk should be, but it's Rofo, so I figure that, you know, he's not moving.
Right. Yeah, I've been to a hockey game with him. I swear to God.
Yeah.
So he comes back. He says, hey, that knob's kind of loose. Just giving you a heads up. And he says it in the Rofo way, where
that knob's kind of loose. So I just wanted to give you a heads up. I didn't break it myself, but it's kind of loose. But by the way, I just want to let you know because I'm not being totally honest, but I'm being as honest as I'm comfortable being right now. That the knob that I actually broke myself that I want to tell you about right now has come loose, and am I kind of getting it?
Like you were there.
Am I doing what my listeners do? Am I getting it?
So you're getting it when he says it. I kind of look at him and I say, excuse me?
At first, we made eye contact.
Yeah, because I looked at Rob and then I looked at him and said, excuse me. Because I know the care And yes. the stress I put yeah. on caring for that thing.
I look, I give you crap about a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But one thing I'm going to go, I would go to my grave defending there is no, if there is one person in the crew who ain't going to break that equipment, it's going right. to be Oscar Santana.
That's exactly right.
He's going to put that in that little case like it's his unborn child.
we should pause.
Oh, we got to take a break. All right, we will finish this up, and then I got to tell you about all the wonderful sibling discussions I've been having with Sister Kathy.
Sister,
right up here in Boston. We'll take a break. Be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. I love traveling with my iPad because I've got all my magazine content because I've got it on Texture. If we haven't told you about Texture, what are you doing? Are you not paying attention? It's the best way to read magazines. You know what you like, so Texture lets you get all your magazines, all of them in one super convenient place. You can put it right on your tablet or your smartphone. Binge away and read everything you love. Breeze through hundreds of the world's most popular magazines, including the back issues, for all the articles that interest you. Sign up for Texture today. They will give you instant insider access to the best reads and premium content. It is the way people are getting their magazine content, folks. Stop wasting time. Stop wasting paper. Stop wasting money. Get Texture today, and you can share it with the whole family. And the best part, Texture is offering a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/TMOS. You get immediate access to all of the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. Try Texture for free right now at texture.com/TMOS. That's texture.com/TMOS, and thank you. We are live from Boston and Washington, D.C. today. We're glad to have you on the Mike O'Mara Show. Happy St. Patty's Day, everybody. We were in the
Happy
middle
Saint
of the...
Patrick's Day.
Pretty.
We were in the middle of discussing the Rofo situation, so he goes across the street. You want to fetch only what is the lifeblood piece of equipment for our entire enterprise, and he comes across and informs you rather casually, I imagine.
Super casual.
Very cavalier.
Super, hey, just a heads up.
That there is a loose knob. And when Oscar was talking about the, or Rob was talking about this DJ proof, a loose knob on this piece of equipment, there are two of them.
Yeah.
They're two knobs. They're the key to the entire thing working. So
it's like saying, hey, you know what? I've given you a car. It's missing two of its tires, but other than
right.
that, it's fine.
Yep.
Have
yep,
fun.
Absolutely.
So, like we were in a movie, I reach over to the knob after looking at Rob
yes.
with that kind of curious George. Huh?
Yeah. And I just am rubbing my hands together seeing what's next because I something's about to happen.
Let me ask this. Who is he handing the machine
he hands the machine to Oscar, but amazingly in a room of five people
yes.
at the time, no eye contact is made with anybody. He might as well be wearing mirrored sunglasses because he is not looking anybody in the face.
Okay, I get it.
So he lays down the machine and I reach over with I'm confused because I just saw it.
Yeah.
And I reach over to the knob. The first knob is working.
Yeah, perfectly.
I'm like, oh, this is great. Now, not so right. bad. He probably put it back on.
Volume knob, yeah.
The second knob, which is the crucial knob of all of these, right?
And it's one
absolutely.
Of those knobs. It's a it's a smart knob. It's
yes.
a push knob.
Yeah.
And you twist it and
articulates
you pull it. Yeah,
everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm using it this week. One of the knobs is basically a headphone volume control. The other knob is the nerve center for the entire piece of equipment. The big one that he dropped.
So I reached for the nerve center knob,
yes.
and it falls right off.
Boink. Boink.
Right off.
Yep.
Wah, wah.
And I said, a little loose. It's not a little loose. It's broken. And this is when I lose.
It is an X knob. It has ceased to be.
This is a deceased knob. This knob is no longer.
Mama.
This is a dead knob. So it falls off and he's busted.
I look up, I said, you broke this. It's not loose. I said, how did you break this? And he goes, no, I just reached in and grabbed it. That's all I did. I promise, honest. And I said, you broke it.
Yep.
Just tell us you broke it. This will be, I'm not going to go crazy.
Mike, because this is when it begins, which is known as the Rob Ford tap dance.
As you are Rob Ford, right? And I say, hey, you broke it, Rob. Just tell us.
It was the loose when I got it out.
I said,
I noticed it because it was loose.
So he's sitting there. He's standing. And I say, Rofo, sit down. Because he wants to leave the studio.
Yeah, already he's already begun to sort of back out of the studio as someone would who walked into a lion's desk or a lion's den.
He's a sensitive flower.
Yeah.
He is.
I said, sit down, relax. We're not going to go crazy. I just want you to learn what telling the truth is all about. Because if you cop to it, I'm probably going to be like, you know, you have to be a little more careful.
The bottom line, you know, really, in all seriousness, yes, it's a broken piece of equipment.
Yes.
It happens. Stuff gets broken. We use equipment. That's going to happen. But what we cannot abide and what we all go nuts for my entire career is the hemina, hemina, hemina. It's so frustrating.
Well, what it is, really. Is that he, in his, the moment, the maybe two or three moments that he was gone too long, that's when he hatched the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan was, Oscar's going to think he broke the knob and then I'm off the hook. All I have to do is get it to him with the knob leaning on it. And when he touches it, it'll go flying across
the room.
So
how long did the Inquisition take to get him to?
A solid 10, 15 minutes.
Pony, I would say closer to 15, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it was a good 15 or 20.
As a matter of fact, it was a great 15 or 20.
Did he, at any time, with the denials, was he denying to the extent where you were beginning, because this happens to me, and I'm giving a tell right here. I don't want to tell. I hate to say this to you guys. When you deny enough to me, I kind of sometimes believe that press and I start doubting myself. Was he denying to that degree?
No, because he was never consistent in his denials.
It was like the O.J. Simpson story. He wasn't on Bundy. He didn't know Nicole.
Yeah.
He didn't know the waiter. It just didn't all add up. And the glove fit this time.
It fit literally like a glove.
He's got big hands.
The problem was that there were three different locations where the knob got loose. And Oscar laughs because he knows it's true. At first, the knob looked loose in the Pelican case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looked loose.
It looked loose. That's BS. I know that.
How a knob can look loose, I don't know. Draw me a chart of that. And then he noticed the knob was loose on the ramp.
Yes.
And then at one point, didn't it get to where the knob fell off? But he put it back.
So Mike, we finally got him to submit where... Yes. We said, what really happened? He goes, well, I may have bumped it when I was taking it out of the case. And I said, well, that's fine, man. That happens to the best of us.
It happens.
And he said, why wouldn't you want to say that? And he crumbled like the scene in Goonies. When Chunk has to tell everything because he's got his hand in the blender.
Exactly.
And he says, well, I just didn't want to be, you know, there's a stereotype about big guys and fumbling and bumbling around and not being agile. And I didn't want to add to that. And I said,
I believe that's when I jumped in and said, this whole thing would have gone a million miles without talking about agility or fat shaming. It really didn't enter into it.
Right.
What entered into it is the fact that the knob looked loose.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. That's the
poor
takeaway.
Boy.
Yeah.
And did he linger or did he go home?
No,
tail between his legs.
He just just slithered out the door. And then did whatever admin work he was doing for Tony.
Do you remember in the Blues Brothers, Mike, when the nun actually drifts back into her office backwards?
Yes.
That's how he left the room.
He floated out of the room.
He floated on a cloud of agility.
He looked like Gary Oldman in Dracula. He just floated back.
And Mike, you know, Rob's just he wants to help, right? He wants to help people. He's a loving person.
Rob has said many times, we've had the psychological examinations, Rob doesn't like conflict of any kind whatsoever.
True. This is true.
So he looks at Rofo. He's like, Rofo, I'm sure we can get it back on. And he takes the knob and the unit and starts working on putting the knob back on, right?
So exactly. Rob, you're trying to help by putting the knob back on.
Because what happened is he's already hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
He's already admitted that he broke it and he lied and he's at fault. And I say, you know what? Maybe this is a building block. Maybe this is, hey, this is his I never went to college moment. Right, Mac? And so... And so I'm thinking, you know, the knob probably will just sort of pop back on.
Yes.
Right. It's how hard can it be? It's a knob.
And what I had noticed is that you can tell when some sort of metal has been sheared off.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Which really, to me, would be indicative of a far more significant collision.
Yeah, not a bump.
No, not a bump. It kind of looked like he'd been using the zip unit for some event in decathlon. Because it really, the inside
so bumped
of the knob.
Maybe is more like drop, right?
Drop like it, yes.
On the knob, which requires great agility to drop something so accurately.
Well, and also, here's the great news about that. By dropping it, you're only seeing the outside damage.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Because these are, you know, the inner guts of the...
The computers.
I mean, it's a beautiful piece of equipment.
Oh, I love
it. Doesn't it feel, whenever I'm touching it, I am so careful. It is so... And, you know, this is so top of mind for me right now, because it looks like the inner guts, it does so many things for us that, it strikes me that it could be very delicate.
Mike, yes, it's really like the first time I went to second base. Like, you don't know what's going on with the unit, but you're going to be gentle.
Well, you know what? I think Oscar's referring to our version of third base, but it's the modern interpretation of second.
We had that confusion last week on the show.
That's right. And that also, Mike, ironically, involves a knob. But we'll...
stop. Do we have the female intern in today? What are you guys... And look at creepy Mac, who is just looking over at Maddie.
He's just
like regularly
like
right now.
Serial
Mac,
killer.
Mac, turn around. Turn around.
Yeah, you're not allowed to look at her.
Santa.
Look at us.
And don't stand up.
Okay.
Maddie, give Maddie the microphone for 1 minute.
Yeah,
here.
She's on.
Look at Maddie.
Maddie?
Yeah.
Maddie,
yeah, what do you
want? On behalf of my entire crew, my sincere apologies.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry you had to listen to that. And Mac, if you leer at Maddie anymore, I'm coming through that television screen.
Like a piece of steak, orange steak.
And you know what? Exactly. Well, here's one good thing, orange steak. Put that on the second bounce. At least Mac didn't talk and kill the show. Oscar.
Yes, just to wrap things up. So Rob Spiewak tries to fix Rofo's problem.
And we actually all ended up trying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we finally...
Now, Oscar goes two ways with that. Sometimes Oscar can be amenable to that, but sometimes Oscar's like me. I'm never amenable to it when someone's trying to fix somebody
else's
screw up.
Well, to be fair, you're never amenable to anything.
You know, Rob, that's absolutely true. Not when somebody screws up.
That's true. And why should you be?
That's right. Yeah. So, but the thing is, Oscar can go either way. So, Oscar, you were kind of trying to be a Mr. Helper, too, with
this? I'm still pissed, but I said, let me try to save the company money and see if we can fix this, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, we all give it a shot, probably another hour in the studio, and I say, well, call Telos. Got to ship it back to them, and we got to pay to get it fixed.
And it was at that era where we had several minor issues, where the point is, when I call up and I get to the tech, they go, hey, Rob, how's it going?
Hey, we're good customers, and we, I think probably anybody that relies on it as much as we do, we're going to be in contact with them.
The beautiful thing about Rofo is that once we realized we had to send it back to Telos and pay for the repair somehow.
And the shipping.
He came back in, and he never asked about it again.
No, he was
never. I would have been full of guilt and said, hey, is there anything I can help out with?
Or exactly.
Did it get fixed? What's
that's generational, in my humble opinion. I don't want to throw young people under the bus, but that's generational.
You blame the millennials
That's
on
millennials.
That?
Yeah. That's millennials. Just to say, I am so sorry. How's it going? What can I do to help you? Nope. No, Nate. No. Time to find another chick with big boobs.
I was wondering if I could have the old knob and I could vape with it.
Right.
Could I put it in my hookah and smoke it?
Yeah. Welcome to Maine. Let me just sit on the porch with my cheesy hookah, my crusty, nasty-ass hookah, where generations of wonderful people have watched the sunrise and sunset, and I'm going to scub it all up with my hookah.
Yeah, I'm going to face away from the coastline. I'm going to look at the house and smoke my hookah.
Yeah.
And then if someone sarcastically says, having a good time, I will reply, I could use a drink.
Yeah, there you go. Hallelujah. And really, you boys have been there. It's a drinking porch.
It
Give me a break.
Absolutely the best in the world.
All right, well, we will get to the entire dynamic of Sis and me. On the Mike O'Mara show, it includes candy wrappers and the fact that I'm renting an effing car for the week. So I look at hers in the driveway.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story.
Nah. Be careful with the knobs.
Oh, I'll be very, very careful. Hey, I can't touch it. We'll take a break and come back with News You May Not Need right here. The St. Patty's Day version of News You May Not Need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
In the place they call vacation land, we measure time by how well you spend it. Here's broadcaster Mike O'Mara for Maine.
I've never seen anything like it. Roads that have trenching in them, that on a main drag when I'm driving around, that actually thrust your car in one direction or the other. The state of Maine is absolutely just wall-to-wall with horrible roads.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I'm sure those roads travel through some beautiful scenery.
And I'm talking about we went through about 40 or 50 miles of nothing but pine trees.
Well, that sounds nice.
Half an hour goes by, and then you realize that you're just on a little two-lane road in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
I think maybe there was a paper mill somewhere where this horrible smell from outside came into the car.
Okay, let's just wrap this up, Mike.
It's a beautiful place to be. It's gorgeous up here. I love the temperature. I love the moose. I love all the crap.
All right, come to Maine. You'll love the moose and all that crap.
You know the skeeters are really horrible up here, right?
Skeeters. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Betterment. How should you manage your money? Let me tell you about Betterment. Their mission is to help people manage and grow their wealth. Betterment has developed a smarter technology that automates investing. It helps with better financial decisions, invests for your personal goals, and provides peace of mind. With Betterment, you get investing advice through smart technology from real people to help with account support. Betterment will help secure your financial future and make sure that you and your family are set up for success. It's the easier way to invest at a fraction of the cost of other investment services. It's never too late to take control of your financial future, and Betterment is the largest independent automated investment service, managing over $3.8 billion for people just like you. It's the streamlined approach to investing. It's automated. It's less expensive. It's easy to use. The future is here. You can get up to 6 months of automated investing for free and more information when you go to Betterment.com/TMOS. Again, that's BETTERMENT.com/TMOS. Betterment is investing made better.
News.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Here are six stats about St. Patrick's Day this year. 51.2% of Americans are celebrating in some way. That is factoid number one, ladies and gentlemen.
I love the idea of taking off work and going to celebrate, if that's possible. The idea that there are people right now at some pub in the city it's been a lot of fun. Even growing up, that's what I used to do.
And most
right?
of my family, Mike, have already been to Mass.
Well, it's very exciting.
It is a holy day of obligation.
The radio days. We would be broadcasting from the Hard Rock right now, doing some sort of green beer bit, right?
Yeah, Green Eggs and Sam.
Yeah, and then or B, when you guys used to call some pub in Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. We would do all that stuff, all the good stuff.
Here's the second fact: more than 4 out of 5 people are wearing green today. Number three, we'll spend a total of $4.4 billion on St. Patrick's Day. Wow. That's based on an average of $35.40 per person. Number four, people around the world will drink 13 million pints of Guinness today.
That's a lot.
13 million pints. I want to own a brewery. Number five, even more important, we'll eat 70% more cabbage this week than we do in a normal week. Yes, sirree.
And we'll all hear about it.
Mr. Methane. Number six.
Oh, I thought you had five.
Finally,
forgive me.
I'm sorry, I thought I had five, too. And finally, St. Patrick's Day is actually the fourth most popular drinking holiday of the year behind New Year's Eve and Christmas.
I'd say, you know what? I think it's a better drinking holiday than New Year's Eve, if you had to rank them.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it's, as you've said it before, New Year's Eve is amateur night.
No, but there's one primary reason, and you and I both enjoy this.
What's that?
Day drinking.
That's of course right. Sorry.
Oh dear.
I accidentally opened it, but I closed it. Don't sweat.
Whoa.
Forgive me.
I'll bring it on the road with me next time. Anyway, five things to drink on the holiday besides beer.
Yeah, it's truly our biggest problem today.
Oh, whoa.
No, I prep for shows. Number five, a black velvet. This one actually does have some beer in it. These are the five drinks that you drink on the holiday besides beer. A black velvet. This one actually does have some beer. Is it really that bad? I know we've had a couple of...
No, I was referring to the connectivity.
Was he in full defensive mode? Is that what it was?
He was embarrassed because his big thumbs got in the way.
I was referring to our connectivity. Yeah. I apologize, Mike. The last thing I want to do is be the weak link. And the knob's a little loose, so be careful.
A black velvet actually does have some beer in it. You fill 2/3 of a glass with champagne and then fill the rest with Guinness.
Oh.
And you have to pour in the Guinness in last or it won't mix right. I'd try that.
That sounds horrible, though.
I may have had that. I may have had a sip.
Really?
Of that. Yeah, I may have had that.
I don't know.
Look at me. Number four, a baby Guinness. It's a shot made with Kahlua and Bailey's, so it kind of looks like a Guinness. I've had that, too.
Yeah, I've had that.
Good.
Yeah.
There you go. Number three, a Misty Mint. You fill 3/4 of a glass with ice, add white rum and creme de menthe to make it bright green. I don't think I've had that.
Mike, that might be good with fruit fritters.
Fruit fritters. Stop by the Whitehall Inn for a glass of Misty Mint. Number two is a Pillow Mint. It's Irish whiskey on the rocks, a 1/2 ounce of Kahlua, and a splash of peppermint schnapps. And number one, I'll tell you, an Irish Mule. You know what? I had a sip of, I think it was Shannon's at that one joint.
Yeah.
The whole mule thing in the copper cup.
Oh,
I'm
the
all
Moscow
in on these.
Mule, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Irish Mule is a Moscow Mule, but with Irish whiskey instead of vodka and ginger ale instead of ginger beer. It's 1/2 can of ginger ale with ice, whiskey, and a little bit of lime juice. What is, that's the five. What is Pimm's, Rob? What is Pimm's?
Pimm's is a, I believe it is a citrus soda that is popular in the Bahamas, I think. I'm not sure that the Irish Mule wouldn't be better with some Gosling's Irish, the Gosling's ginger beer, something stronger to offset the Irish whiskey. What do you think?
Well, the little pub right around the corner from my sister's place, I had a Pimm's Winter Break or something like that. And that Pimm's, oh my God, it was the best drink I've ever had. Moving right along, Jared Fogle is getting a taste of what it's like to be a child molester in prison. And let's just say he's got a way bigger problem than trying to lose weight by eating Subway. he was jumped in the rec yard at Inglewood Prison in Colorado back on January 29th. I'm sorry.
This is great.
I don't like violence perpetrated on anybody. I'm sorry I'm laughing.
No, it's fine.
But something about Jared, he's such a
scumbag. You can guess, after seeing him with the weight gain, he's not doing any jumping. He's the one being jumped.
Well, he got jumped on January 29th, was left with a bloody nose, swollen face, and scratches on his neck. Wyatt, that's so terrible.
This is just the beginning.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to get any better.
A 60-year-old inmate named Stephen... I won't mention the last name.
All right.
But it's a interesting name. He administered the beatdown. Stephen said he gave him a barrage of punches to his face. He's doing time for a weapons charge, and his family is pretty sure why he targeted Jared. They say Stephen has been very upset that there are so many pedophiles at the prison, and seeing Jared just sent him over the edge into a raid. And, of course, he's an inmate, so, you know.
Because, Mike, the last thing you want in prison is someone to come in and ruin the neighborhood. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. The site Daily.com says Donald Trump requires all his volunteers to sign a 6-page contract that forbids them from saying anything bad about him, not just while they're volunteering for him, but for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
That's normal. I think that's normal.
Blood packed.
Yeah.
It's not just Donald they can't talk about. It also includes his family members, any Trump businesses or products, or his campaign. There's even a line that demands volunteers keep their employees from saying anything bad about Trump.
Wow.
It also includes non-disclosure and non-compete language. You know, maybe that's why all these talking heads, you notice there's a certain decorum about these people that come on TV with Mr. Trump, and they literally never say, they never cop to anything, even in a discussion where they're giving a back and forth analysis.
They're not working on his campaign, though. They don't have to sign that.
Yeah, that's true. That's it. But I'd love to see, what he makes other people sign. Anyway, Trump, let me see. The other thing says volunteers from working on another candidate as long as Trump is in the race. They can't do that either. Or any future race.
So they can't do any more campaigning for the rest of their lives.
These agreements are common in business, but it's pretty strange to have volunteers sign them. And since they aren't actual employees, the contracts are difficult to enforce and probably won't stand up in court.
Wow.
So
ironclad.
That's nice. Yes. Justin Bieber played Seattle last week. Yes, deserving that applause. For some reason, people still are losing their minds over it, and not in a good way. Apparently, a lot of people think he voided himself all over the memory of Kurt Cobain.
Oh.
That he pooped on the memory.
Oh.
By
what did he do?
He came out, and he wore flannels and ripped jeans. He also wore a Cobain t-shirt at one point, and he sang Love Yourself by himself on a couch with just an acoustic guitar, which people say is a ripoff of Nirvana's MTV Unplugged special.
Sure.
This show that they did in Seattle is still inspiring nasty tweets like this one. Justin Bieber being Kurt Cobain. If Kurt's alive today, he would be shooting shotgun shrapnels into Bieber's stubborn head.
Wow.
Then there's this one, quote, 1994 was the worst year ever. Kurt Cobain died and Justin Bieber was born.
Wow. Bieber should make them sign contracts that they can't say anything bad about him.
And can't say bad about any other artists that Justin likes.
For perpetuity.
At least one person, Jaden Smith, is a fan of Justin, though, and he tweeted, Kurt, quote, Kurt Cobain is still alive. He lives inside the souls of the youth.
That's good. Oh,
James,
Jaden.
Thanks a lot. And now a little something. Can't a drunk guy just eat his orange chicken without having to answer a bunch of brain teasers? This is a wonderful Monday kicker for St. Paddy's Day.
Cool.
A 74-year-old guy was in the drive-thru lane at a Panda Express in South Euclid, Ohio last week when he rear-ended the person in front of him. His goal was to stop another car from driving in between them to get out of the parking lot. So, yeah, he hit the other guy purely out of a desire to make someone else's life more needlessly difficult.
Wow, what a good guy. Nice fella. Jerk.
Real nice guy. So the cops come. They are pretty sure the guy is drunk. They try to give him a sobriety test where you say the alphabet, but the guy refuses to do it because he said, quote, I'm unfamiliar with the alphabet. Oh,
that is such a great drunk excuse. Really solid.
He was arrested for operating a vehicle while impaired, and I probably think it went down something like this. I'm not sure what you're referring to. Can you rephrase that question, please? Thank you. Where's my orange chicken? Why are you hanging me? Anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, it's the Magic Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak right here on the Michael Mara Show.
Hi, I'm Rob Cake Spiewak.
And I'm Katie Cookie Von Herman.
Here at the Cake and Cookies broadcast headquarters, we try to keep things hot and current.
So current, in fact, that this week, Rob admits he can't wait for Spats to come back into style, and he name drops the lead accordion player of the Lawrence Welk Show.
Myron Florin. Hot, baby, on Cake and Cookies.
I have to get off of this show.
Cake and Cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Myron Florin.
Hello, Myron Florin.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our TMOS app. We would love to give you a free upgrade for your smartphone. No strings attached. It's easy. Just download the TMOS app and fall in love with your smartphone all over again. The TMOS app lets you listen to all the shows on the More Network with ease. No RSS feeds or subscriptions to worry about. The easiest way to get the bonus show. Plus, you can use it to contact us. It even links directly to our Amazon portal. How easy is that?
Mm.
And speaking of easy, downloading it is a snap. Just go to the App Store, type in TMOS, then hit search. I have to remind myself when I'm telling people about the app to just do that.
Just
I
do
should
it.
Just go to the App
Shortcut.
Store and type in TMOS.
Yeah.
I do this whole thing. Just put in Mike O'Mara. Do my.
How do you spell
even
that?
Yeah, thank you. And then recite the alphabet. Whether you're iOS or Android,
Mike, not familiar.
It's the easiest way to listen to the Mike O'Mara Show. Stay tuned. Great stuff in 2016 for the TMOS app that you don't want to miss. So make sure you download the TMOS app today and improve your TMOS experience instantly.
Ooh.
All right, let's open up the Magic Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak for Thursday, March 17, 2016. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
I was shocked last night to hear of the death of Frank Sinatra Jr. at a relatively young 72. Because you know what? His dad lived to 90-something, and his dad lived a lot harder than he did.
Mm-hmm.
It was cardiac arrest, according to the Sinatra family. Most people in the younger age, Oscar, you're probably familiar. Do you remember the episode of The Sopranos with the big card game and $1,000 was referred to as a box of ziti?
Yes.
How many boxes of ziti is he into us for?
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra Jr. played himself at that.
They did that
game.
By the way, on The Sopranos. They did it to cover their ass when they were being wiretapped. That's why
right.
they were doing that.
So anyway, here is Frank Sinatra Jr.'s big acting breakout scene in the Sopranos.
Christopher, got everybody a drink?
I'll be right back.
That's it. Cash me out.
Oh,
that's
him. Come on, Frank. Sit down. You know, it's a misunderstanding, right, Richie?
No, no. Tony, I'm wiped. I'll settle up with you next game. And give my regards to your uncle.
Well, let me get you a little breakfast. Come on.
Matt, thanks a lot. Here's one for your pal. Cash me out, will you, Sunshine?
Thank you, Mr. Sinatra. Junior, sir.
Mr. Sinatra Jr., sir. Junior, and you know what's great is that Frank Sinatra Jr. always looked like old Frank Sinatra, and Ronan Farrow looks like young Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
So you've got that to look forward to.
I'd love to get more information on that, by the way, because I look at Ronan Farrow and I go, come on, that's a stone-cold lock that he is Frank's kid.
And you know what's weird is that if that is Frank's kid, it's also... There is a rumor that Frank also banged Maureen O'Sullivan, who was Mia Farrow's mom, which means he did both generations.
Wow.
So there's that. My favorite Frank Sinatra Jr. thing goes back about 20 years. He really always wanted to be a singer like his dad. And he said he never caught on because he liked the standards when everyone was doing rock and roll. Mm.
He was once.
So this is him with the theme to Gumby.
Dab of
this is his hit.
Gumby, you should see what Gumby can do today. Gumby,
yeah,
sounds great. Walk.
He's not a bad singer.
Wow.
But you know what? What?
Kind of a sad legacy, though, ain't it?
Yeah, but also, man, what a tough job when they hand you, what are you going to do for your life? Well, I'm going to be Frank Sinatra's son.
Oh, yeah, and then he was his orchestra leader for a while, and Frank wasn't all that nice to him. It was sad. Look, you know, Jack Nicklaus Jr., all these guys that have, you have the mega, mega name.
Robert
and it's,
Spiewak III.
Oh, so tough to get out of that shadow.
But anyway, safe home. He was, you know what? It was nice that he kept his dad's legacy alive and performed with an orchestra all that time. Donald Trump was asked, who is he consulting now that his campaign has gone this far? And I think it's a brilliant answer.
Who are you consulting with consistently so that you're ready on day one?
I'm speaking with myself, number one, because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things. My primary consultant is myself, and I have... You know, I have a good instinct for this stuff.
He consults primarily with himself.
What a dick.
I don't know. I don't know if we should laugh anymore. But like, it's hard not to.
You have to laugh or you cry.
We've been laughing. We're laughing all the way to the nomination. Are we going to laugh all the way to the White House? I'm speaking with myself.
We're laughing all the way to the rally, Mike.
Good Lord.
I've got a good brain.
Yes. I know good words. Hey, I know the best words.
The best words. They're spectacular, believe me.
So, it used to be about 10 years ago when someone wanted to have a resurgence in their career, they would record an album of standards.
Yes.
Now it seems like people are recording country albums. I know that...
I hate that.
You're not a fan?
Well, it's modern country, and I'm not... I just don't dig it.
Can you name this actor singing a country song? His album drops soon.
I love you just the way you are.
This is obviously a live performance.
Was he an artist beforehand?
No, he's an actor. Here's your hint. Good drinker, too.
Shia LaBeouf.
You're not far off. That's Kiefer Sutherland.
What happened to Kiefer, man, after 24? Well, Kiefer's got, like, FU money.
Yeah,
from 24,
he's not
right?
Bouncing back from a career.
We have to get the hit single out in 10 hours.
let me jump into the Christmas tree.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, one of my favorite. One of the greatest viral videos of all time.
And let us close with this. Seth Meyers last night talked about how important it is at this point in the presidential campaign, you got to get the endorsement of the unions.
Bernie Sanders picked up his fourth union endorsement this week from the Amalgamated Transit Union. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has yet to pick up any union endorsements, but does have several from the Confederacy.
That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure and join us tomorrow for another fine episode of the Mike O'Mara Show, live from Boston and Washington, D.C.
Yay.
Have a fabulous St. Patrick's Day, everybody. And remember, the Mike O'Mara Show relies on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about the Mike O'Mara Show and make sure that they get it too. And thank you to everybody for supporting our fine advertisers. Every little bit helps on the Mike O'Mara Show. We appreciate it, and we hope you get it. And if you know somebody that wants to get it, make sure they get it, too. That's it. We got to get out of here from Boston and Washington, D.C. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before we go, a quick reminder to please take our survey. Just visit MikeOMaraShow.com, click the banner that says survey. It only takes a few moments, it's anonymous, your info is safe, and it helps us out a lot. And now, goodbye.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.